Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. It's good to be back in fellowship with you once again. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. And what an wonderful and merciful Godhead we have the privilege to know, to love, and to serve. So greetings, one and all. And our opening song is Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed.
And so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen, and praise the Lord that He does redeem us, and He is indeed our Savior, and He's coming soon to take us home to those yonder bright mansions, and what a day that will be. And praise God, it's a day sooner than what it was yesterday. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'll ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy merciful kindness, Thy tender love, watchful care, for hearing and answering our prayers, and for ruling and overruling accordingly in all our affairs to Thy perfect will. Thank You that we are indeed a day closer to eternal life, to be able to see You as You are, and to be able to, if we may be so bold, to hug You, to throw our arms around You, and to have Your arms around us. And thank You so much for being such a wonderful and loving, compassionate, tender-hearted Father. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and Father, we ask that Thy presence will be here, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And may we indeed have our hearts enlightened with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God revealed in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Spirit, I pray that you will enlighten our minds and help us to understand and to comprehend the truths that are found in the word of inspiration. And let not a single precious gem be unrecognized or ungathered by any of our listeners. We pray that you'll be with all of those who have requested prayers, and please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will and in thy perfect timing. Thank you that we're able to meet together once again. We pray that the internet will be strong, the recording crisp and clear, and that Satan will not be allowed to do anything in any way to keep the truth from reaching the honest in heart, and that he will not be allowed to keep them from following the truth. Thank you that he's a defeated foe, and that the end of sin is a day closer to being reality. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're in chapter 15 of Romans. Verse 31 is where we left off last time. And what we were discussing before we ended was that Paul was bringing out the aspect that it's not just God the Father who loves us, and it's not just Jesus Christ who loves us, but it's also the Holy Spirit. And when you look at verse 30, all three gods of the Godhead are brought out. The first one mentioned is the Lord God Jesus Christ. The next that's mentioned is God the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the last that's mentioned is God our Father. So in that one verse, all three gods of the Godhead are brought out. And it especially brings out the fact that the Spirit loves us. In order to love someone shows that you are a distinct personality. You are a being that is intelligent, a being that has emotions, not just an essence, not just a power, but an intelligent, divine being, as we're talking about here, the Holy Spirit. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 31. So Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So Paul was asking intercessory prayers of the brethren and sistren there in Romans, in Rome, that he may be able to make it safely into Judea, that Satan would be prevented from keeping him from arriving there, and that he would be able to bestow on them the gift that was given to him, which was a particular donated sum of money from the Gentiles to deliver to the Jewish brethren in the faith that were going through hardships. And then Paul says that he hopes to come back to Rome by the will of God and to be a source of refreshing to them, as well as to be refreshed himself by them. And then he ended it by saying, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So if God is a God of peace, then Satan must be a being of strife, a being of warfare. So if we have strife in our midst, it can't be from God, because he is a God of peace. So then strife is one of the fruits of the devil. Division is one of the fruits of the devil. And you can continue in that whole negative description of the attributes of Lucifer. Warfare, strife, division, dissension, disunity, hatred. All of these negative fruits do not come from God. And so if you have them in your heart, or if they're manifested in your midst, then you know that Satan is there. But God is a God of peace, a God of love, a God of unity, a God of happiness, contentment, joy, light. Everything that the devil is not. So there's two different powers in this world, the power of God or the power of the devil. There's two different ways to act in this world, following the will of God or following the will of Lucifer. I pray that we will follow the will of God, and that we will indeed be filled with his peace that passeth all understanding, and may have his peace with us all. So that was the end of chapter 15, and now we come to the very last chapter of Romans, chapter 16. But are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we go to chapter 16? Please feel free. Okay, chapter 16, and would someone like to take the first verse? Actually, the first two verses. Please feel free.
Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. Now, it's interesting here that Paul commended or recommended that the believers there in Rome receive their sister Phoebe. Now, they didn't know who she was, but Paul personally recommended them to receive her as a sister in the faith because she was worthy of their fellowship towards her. She was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. And she was also a comfort to many there, including Paul. And I'm not quite sure of the circumstances why she was heading to Rome, but anyways, she was recommended of Paul to the believers there in Rome. And Paul said that they were to treat her with the utmost kindness and tenderness as becometh saints, and that they were to assist her in whatever business she needed from them. Now, there was nothing wrong with brothers and sisters traveling from one particular territory to another, and there was nothing wrong with them being received as brothers and sisters in the faith once the church in that different locality knew who they were. But here we see that it was also proper for those who knew of brethren that were going to be traveling to other territories to alert the brethren in the other territories to look out for these individuals and to treat them as become as saints, to give them the hospitality of God's people and to help them in whatever needs that they could be helped with. So then there's nothing wrong with alerting other brethren to be tender and affectionate towards other traveling brothers and sisters. In fact, it probably allowed this sister Phoebe to accomplish much more work there in Rome than she would have otherwise been able to do without Paul's letter of recommendation. So this shows that there's nothing wrong with having letters of recommendation from other brethren in the faith towards other churches in the faith. And so it helps to alleviate suspicion or lack of willing acceptance because of not being known in that area. And so if it was practiced in that day and age, 2,000 years ago, then there's nothing wrong with practicing it in this day and age. Anything that will help the work of God spread faster and farther is indeed permitted among God's people. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? Question, it says, would that be credentials that she had? No, I would not say that was credentials. Credentials is basically papers or letters that you have recognizing you in a particular office or a particular responsibility. Here, Paul was just basically recommending Phoebe to the brethren there to help them or to help her in whatever business that she needed their help in. But that wasn't the same as credentials, which if we're talking about ministerial credentials, it would allow her to be able to preach in the churches in that area. So Paul wasn't giving her credentials. He was just giving a heads up to the brethren and sister in there in Rome to be on the lookout for this sister Phoebe and to accommodate her in all areas that they could. Amen. Like a letter of introduction. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But credentials are something different. Credentials are more like you've graduated in a particular area and that allows you to have that particular position in other areas. So almost like a license, if you will, but not quite the same.
I find that when we read kind of the letters of the Apostle Paul, it's kind of interesting because it's actually like a personal letter that he's writing to each one. And it's so beautiful because even here, it's like, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, and then going on, greet Priscilla and Aquila. You know, it's beautiful how it's like a personal letter that he writes.
Amen. And, you know, Paul was responsible for getting the church in Rome going. And a lot of the converts there were due to his ministry. So you can see that the letter that he wrote, not just to Rome, but also Corinth and to the Galatians and Ephesians, etc., you can see that personal affection that Paul had for all the brethren there. And by brethren, I mean sisters as well. But that personal connection, like you mentioned, is like writing a letter to each one of them individually, but yet it's a collective letter. It's written to the church there. But it does have that personal note, even though he didn't mention each one by name yet, as you mentioned. As you read it, you can put yourself in that place, like it's being written just to you. A letter of love. So, amen. Amen. Would someone like to read verses 3 to 5? Please feel free. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. So Paul here not only mentions Phoebe would be coming into the area of Rome, but also Priscilla and Aquila would be traveling to Rome. And he not only brings out the fact that the brethren there are to receive them, but just like with Phoebe, he mentions the reasons why they were to be received. Phoebe was a servant of the church. Phoebe was a comforter to many, including Paul. Priscilla and Aquila laid down their lives for Paul. And so he not only expects them to receive his testimony on faith that these individuals are good, they're faithful in the message, but he also gives evidence as to why they should be greeted with respect. So again, we see this type of letter of introduction, letter of recommendation, being used by Paul. Now in verse 5, it's interesting. It brings up the aspect that Priscilla and Aquila had church in their home. So when we think of church, a lot of times we think that we have to go to the corner chapel in order to be able to worship God properly. But Paul here mentions that church was being held in the home, not just in the synagogue, not just in the chapel, in the home. So this shows that there's nothing wrong with having church in your very home or in the home of another brother or sister. Because it really doesn't matter the location where you hold church services. It could be out in the country. It could be by a lake. It could be in the woods. It can be in your home, down in the basement, up in the attic. It doesn't matter as long as the presence of Christ is in your midst. You could even have church services in a dungeon, because it's wherever the presence of Christ is that his church can be found. Now, just the opposite. Wherever the presence of Christ is not, then that cannot be his church. So if the presence of Christ is not found in the Vatican, in St. Basilica, if it's not found in the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian or the Nazarene, then it doesn't matter how gorgeously arrayed those places may be. It doesn't matter how loudly they may praise God. They are not his church. Amen. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Christ said, there am I in the midst of them. So it's only the presence of Christ that can constitute a church of Christ. And if the presence of Christ is not there, then that place is not his church. It doesn't matter what they call themselves. Christ's church has his presence in their midst. And here, his presence was with the church in the home during the time of the apostles. So then that meant that the Jewish synagogues that were loudly professing to be the church of God were not the church of God at all, because the presence of Christ was not in their midst. They crucified him. They rejected him. They chose Caesar. So it didn't matter how large their temple was. It didn't matter how gorgeously arrayed it was with gold and silver and precious stones and ivory and whatever else was there. It didn't matter. Christ wasn't there. That meant those synagogues, those temples, those sanctuaries were not the church of Christ. It's the same today. Babylon is fallen because she's a habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit. Christ isn't there. And fallen Babylon today represents all the established churches that have chosen to reject the truth, which is Jesus Christ, in order to cling to their fundamental doctrines of the faith that aren't founded in God's word of truth. They cling to the commandments of men. They cling to the teachings of the church fathers, but not to Christ. And thus those churches are Christless, even though they profess to be churches of Christ. They've rejected him. And now Christ's presence is found in home churches. And it doesn't matter what the number is of the home church. It doesn't have to be a large congregation that meets in the home. It doesn't have to be a large congregation that meets on the internet here. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, in the truth of Christ, he's right with us, including tonight. And wherever Christ's presence is, there is his church. Now, we're not the only church of Christ, because wherever his presence is through the Holy Spirit, those are his churches as well. Christ is what makes the church precious. It's what makes the people precious. Without him, we're lost. Amen. people are so accustomed to looking at outward appearances. They look for the biggest church in the community to attend because they figure bigger the better. They look for the largest church membership to be a part of. They figure if it's got a large membership, God must really be blessing it. And they pass by the humble home churches because they figure, look how small the numbers are. Surely God couldn't be blessing this gathering. Amen. Only a few in number. We're two or three even. Not 20 or 30, just two or three. There is Christ in their midst. If they're meeting there in His name, in other words, His character, His truth, then He's there. Yeah, that's true. There was only eight people on the ark and all the rest of the people were outside. So numbers are not always an indication of God's favor or blessings. The Catholic Church boasts 2 billion people as part of their membership. A third of the world. Well, maybe a less than a third. And yet, they're Christless. They're clinging to the doctrines and commandments of the church fathers instead of the doctrines and commandments of the Bible. They've rejected Jesus Christ. They show that over and over again in the Mass where they crucify Him, and the priest is the one that claims to be greater than Christ. They claim they have the power to create Him or command Him to come from heaven down into that little cookie wafer. Imagine a man commanding his creator to do something. That's how blind they are. And transubstantiation is not found in the scriptures. It's a commandment, a teaching of men. It's custom and tradition of the elders, not of the Bible. So Christ is not part of the Catholic system, even though they boast some 2 billion members. Christ is with the humble few. Many are called, but only few become connected with Christ because they're unwilling to sacrifice all in order to have the Savior. So Paul recommends Phoebe, Priscilla, Aquila, and Epaphras to the brethren and sisterin there in Rome. And the Church of Christ was found in the home. And it wasn't just the home of Priscilla and Aquila either, or Aquila. And also in Colossians 4:15, I believe it is, talks about another church in the home. There among the Colossians. In Philemon verse 2, I believe it is, there's another home church mentioned. So there's several home churches that the early Christian church was worshiping Christ in, not just with Priscilla and Aquila. And so we see today home churches that are worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and He is there in their midst to make them His church. Amen. Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Amen. Are there any other thoughts or comments, any other questions? Please feel free.
And this last chapter of Romans chapter 16, I'd never really noticed it before, but it's kind of also like not just the letter as we were mentioning before, but like he's closing up the letter. He is like giving his greetings through the letter to say, okay, kind of like God bless everyone until we meet again, something like that. It kind of seems, because he's like, greet this one, greet the other one, and so on and so on.
That's true. And, it's not a formal letter. It's an informal letter. It's just like we were discussing earlier. Paul is speaking to brethren and sisters that he loves. And you can see that affection come through in his words to them. Now, when you get to Corinthians, Paul is still speaking with love in his heart and tender affection, but he's also reproving them for some sins that they've overlooked or had stumbled into and are unaware of or do not want to give up. So he's not afraid to reprove and correct and instruct in righteousness, but he's also doing it with love and tender affection in his heart. He's letting them know that he cares for them. So, I mean, you get to Hebrews, and it's a little bit more formal there, because Paul's dealing with a whole bunch of doctrinal issues, especially regarding the sanctuary. But yet there's still that affectionate, informal manner to his writing to them, just like with all his letters. And so you can see that it is indeed a letter and not so much an instruction manual, And it makes it that much more personal, that much more easy to accept, even with the reproof connected with it. The medicine goes down much easier. Now, praise God for his word, the word of life, and praise him for his love and concern for us. Are there any other thoughts or comments or questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free.
A hymn comes to mind that kind of is dealing with how Christ wants us to come to him, the hymn Softly and Tenderly, because it's like softly and tenderly he calls us to come to him. He doesn't force us or anything. And that hymn just came to mind. Okay, I'll start with verse 1. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Amen. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
Time is now fleeting, the moment is passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye you are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner, come.
Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Amen, dear sister. Softly and tenderly, a love letter, personal in nature, is to each one of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And also what helped me to remember this is my brother Weston at one time did play the guitar, and he did a rendition of this one where he kind of brought in the fact when, I want to get this right, Noah was building the ark and preached 120 years, and yet when that door closed, probation had closed, you know, and one day if I can find that, I'd like to play it for you or at least send it to you, Elder Rob, so you can check it out or what have you. But this hymn also always touches my heart that Christ doesn't force us. He only asks us tenderly. And as you said, beautiful on the reading that we have, it's just a tender and beautiful letters that the Lord touched Paul's heart to write to them and then to us today as well.
Amen. And when you find it, I'd like to hear it. That would be wonderful, because that's absolutely true. With Noah was preaching the love letter from Christ to the whole antediluvian world there, and the majority of them rejected it. And when that door of the ark closed, their probation closed, even though it was still sunny outside without any clouds in sight. Their destiny was sealed in not having Christ in their midst. So, amen. But yeah, when you locate that, please share it with us. And thank you. Let's open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please feel free.
Let's come, Barcelos, and open up a season of prayer, if possible. Let us kneel and bow our heads. Lord, we thank you. We thank you this evening over there and here morning that we are always to come and learn of you. We need a lot of experiences of how to move away from this world to the next world. Lord, we come before you. We commit our souls before you. Cleanse us, beautify us, that we may be holy like you are. Lord, you are weary of this world, the being oppressed left and right. Lord, we need comfort, and this comfort is in you. Lord, lead us, guide us, so that we may reach you. Lord, we bring your work before you. We bring all your workmen, co-workers before you. Lord, help them to speak your word before the world. Lord, whoever is new and we don't know him like Fabe, Lord, we welcome each and everybody as long as he's telling and speaking your word. Loving Father, we thank you that you have always been with us in time of need. And when we call upon you, you listen. Lord, always continue to be with us in these last days. We know the devil has doubted his efforts to fail us. But Lord, we stick, we come before your foot. Be with us always. Loving Father, we know there are a lot we need from you in these very last days. Sometimes we pray, buddy, that we may not reach the level of you answering God. But you pray that may the Holy Spirit correct our words, our prayers, that before it reaches you, it's well pressed, that you may do, give us and receive it to do your will for your own glory. Loving Father, we thank you for this technology that has brought us together. It's a sign to show that one time and soon and very soon we shall meet together and worship you forever and ever. We pray that you continue to sustain us in this matter, that you may share the wonderful experiences the world over, and that you may learn that you are the Lord who created us all, and one time will be your children in the home to come.
Kind Heavenly Father, a little longer we linger with thee, dear Lord, and thank you for allowing us to be able to come together to praise you, number one, dear Savior, that you have allowed us yet one more day to be able to come before thee, pleading forgiveness for every sin, Lord, known, every unchristlike way or thought. Please, dear Savior, that my prayer would be heard and not hindered from any unchristlikeness in me. Lord, I lift up every dear brethren here represented. I lift up also those that were having trouble with their internet connection, that you would help them to be able to come in as they desire. Bless those that are on the phone. All the requests, dear Lord, that have gone up in previous prayer meetings or women's studies or Friday evening Sabbath vespers or Sabbath services or after church. You see them all, dear Lord. You see the intensity of them all. You see the spoken and unspoken request. Thank you, Lord, for already hearing and already answering in accordance to your will. And Lord, if I might add to the list, Weston, who is having harassment from employer, only you know the circumstances and thy will be done in all things. I continue to lift up the ministry here and the family, Elder Rob and Sister Michelle and their family, that you would continue to bless all the members that are on the front line, Brother Joel and Sister Petla and Brother Willington, those that are out there, Sister Rose, that are out there delivering the message on the front lines, dear Savior. Put a hedge of protection around them, I pray thee. All these things I pray, and I thank you beforehand for washing each and every one of us represented here in your blood and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name I pray and thank thee. Amen.
Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather and to meet here in the name of Jesus and with thy presence and his presence and the presence of thy Spirit and heavenly angels as well. Thank you for accepting us in the Beloved as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Savior, for making us your followers, your bride, and your church. And thank you, Spirit, for making the Word effectual in our lives and allowing us to be transformed into the children of the Most High. I pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field. Raise up more individuals to hear and understand and accept and follow the truth and help to support the increased laborers as well as to spread the truth themselves, letting their light so shine before men that Christ may be uplifted and glorified. And thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Please be with us all as we part. Please help us to continue to grow in grace and advance farther up that straight and narrow path to eternal life. We also pray that you'll be with the Haynes family, that you'll work in their lives, lead them closer to thee and become more established in the truth. We also pray for their family friend that's battling cancer. And please help them to turn to you with all their heart. And please take their case in your hands as their great physician, dear Savior, and let thy perfect will be done. And we add our prayers with our dear sister for Brother Weston, that you will work in his life and in his circumstances and affairs. And let thy perfect will be done. And please shut Satan out of that situation, that hearts may be touched, may be changed, and brought to you and away from service of the wicked one. We thank you for thy perfect will being done and for the extra grace and strength given to Weston and anyone else who's undergoing harassment or persecution or trials and tribulations. Thank you that these will work to our benefit to bring us farther and farther away from the world, away from sin, and to be cleansed, becoming more like our Savior. Thank you for being with us, and please bring us back together again soon. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other songs, testimonies, anything that you'd like to share before we close? Please feel free. Well, may God bless, dear ones, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you this coming Friday evening. And I pray that God will continue to richly bless you and to be your comfort and stay until then. So keep looking up, dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this next scripture song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 105.